Granny Weatherwax was not a jouster in the lists of love, but as an intelligent onlooker, she knew how the game was played. No wonder the book had sold like hotcakes. Half the recipes told you how to make them. It was surprising the pages hadn't singed. And it was by a Lonkra witch. The world was, Granny Weatherwax modestly admitted, well aware of who the witch of Lonkra was, viz. It was her. Githa Og, she said.
Yes, Esme?
Githa Og, you look me in the eye.
Sorry, Esme.
A Lonkra witch, it says here.
I never thought, Esme.
So you'll go and see Mr. Goatburger and have this stopped, right? I don't want people looking at me and thinking about the banana-nana soup surprise. I don't even believe the banana-nana soup surprise. And I ain't relishing going down the street and hearing people making cracks about bananas.
Yes, Esme.
And I'll come with you to make sure you do.
Yes, Esme.
And we'll talk to the man about your money.
Yes, Esme.
And we might just drop in on young Agnes to make sure she's all right.
Yes, Esme.
And we'll do it diplomatic-like. We don't want people thinking we're poking our noses in.
Yes, Esme.
No one could say I interfere where I'm not wanted. You won't find anyone calling me a busybody.
Yes, Esme.
That was, yes, Esme, you won't find anyone calling you a busybody, was it?
Oh, yes, Esme.
You sure about that?
Yes, Esme.
Good.
Granny looked out at the dull grey sky and the dying leaves, and felt, amazingly enough, her sap rising. A day ago, the future had looked aching and desolate, and now it looked full of surprises, and terror, and bad things happening to people. If she had anything to do with it, anyway. In the scullery, Nanny Og grinned to herself. Agnes had known a little bit about the theatre. A travelling company came to Lonkra sometimes. Their stage was about twice the size of a door, and backstage consisted of a bit of sacking, behind which was usually a man trying to change trousers and wigs at the same time, and another man dressed as a king, having a surreptitious smoke. The opera house was almost as big as the Patrician's Palace, and far more palatial. It covered 3 acres. There was stabling for 20 horses and 2 elephants in the cellar. Agnes spent some time there, because the elephants were reassuringly larger than her. There were rooms behind the stage so big that entire sets were stored there. There was a whole ballet school somewhere in the building. Some of the girls were on stage now, ugly in woolly jumpers, going through a routine. The inside of the opera house, at least the backstage inside, put Agnes strongly in mind of the clock her brother had taken apart to find the tick. It was hardly a building, it was more like a machine. Sets and curtains and ropes hung in the darkness like dreadful things in a forgotten cellar. The stage was only a small part of the place, a little rectangle of light in a huge, complicated darkness full of significant machinery. A piece of dust floated down from the blackness high above. She brushed it off.
"I thought I heard someone up there," she said.
"It's probably the ghost," said Christine. "We've got one, you know. Oh, I said we. Oh, isn't this exciting?"
"A man with his face covered by a white mask," said Agnes.
"You've heard about him, then?"
"What? Who?"
"The ghost."
Blast, thought Agnes. It was always ready to catch her out, just when she thought she'd put all that behind her. She'd know things without quite knowing why. It upset people. It certainly upset her.
"Oh, I suppose someone must have told me," she mumbled.
"He moves around the opera house invisibly, they say. One moment he'll be in the gods, the next moment he'll be backstage somewhere. No one knows how he does it."
"Really?"
"They say he watches every performance. That's why they never sell tickets for Box 8. Didn't you know?"
"Box 8? Said Agnes. "What's a box?"
"Boxes! You know, that's where you get the best people. Look, I shall show you."
Christine marched to the front of the stage and waved a hand grandly at the empty auditorium.
"The boxes," she said, "over there and right up there. The gods."
Her voice bounced back from the distant wall.
"Aren't the best people in the gods? Sounds..."
"Oh, no. The best people will be in the boxes, or possibly in the stalls."
Agnes pointed.
"Who's down there? They must get a good view."
"Don't be silly. That's the pit. That's for the musicians."
"Well, that makes sense anyway. Which one's Box 8?
I don't know. But they say if ever they sell seats in Box 8, there'll be a dreadful tragedy. Isn't that romantic?
For some reason, Agnes's practical eye was drawn to the huge chandelier that hung over the auditorium like a fantastic sea monster.